and so that we can benefit and be blessed. And last week we looked at a couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira, and we learned a number of things. One, you can't live a deception. Two, lift up your mate in marriage. Number three, you can't fool God. And four, you have to answer to God. Now today, if you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, we're going to look at Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph. And most of what we know about these two are found in the first chapter of Matthew and found in the first chapter of Luke. Matthew chapter 1, we'll be looking at verse 18. This was how the birth of Jesus, the Christ, took place. His mother, Mary, was engaged to Joseph. But before they were married, she found out she was going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was a man who always did what was right. He did not want to disgrace Mary publicly, so he made plans to break the engagement privately. And while he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this happened in order to make come true what the Lord had said through the prophet. A virgin will become pregnant. A virgin will become pregnant and have a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So when Joseph woke up, he married Mary, as the angel of the Lord had told him to. But he had no sexual relations with her before she gave birth to her son, and Joseph named him Jesus. Joseph named him Jesus. Now, two books over in Luke chapter 1, the counterpart of this, since we're looking at couples, we want to look at the wife. And Mary is her name, and Luke 1, verse 26 is where we begin her plan. It says that in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a girl. He had a message now for a girl promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. The girl's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message, and she wondered what his words meant. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High God. And the Lord God will make him a king, as his ancestor David was. And he will be the king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "I'm a virgin. How can this be?" And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and God's power will rest upon you. For this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God." Because it is the Spirit of God who is going to produce this. The Holy Child will be called the Son of God. Remember your relative Elizabeth. It is said that she cannot have children, but she herself is now 6 months pregnant, even though she's very old. "For there is nothing that God cannot do." Would you say that? "For there is nothing that God cannot do." "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said," and the angel left. What a beautiful story. Mary and Joseph. I believe they were teenagers. I do not believe they are, as we see in pictures, older people. Now, I know the young men had beards too, but most of the depicting we have of Mary and Joseph that I've seen, the majority of the paintings all show them as being older people. I believe they were really young. I believe they were young in their early 20s or their late as teenagers. And one day Joseph saw Mary and he said, "Hey, Mary, let's go down to the edge of town and down there where the spring is. We can drive in and through right out and through that local spring, get some water." And they probably got on their donkey and there was like a drive-through. They just drove right up to the fountain and donkey drank and they drank and they chatted and talked around and they courted each other just like we court today. I mean, just because we're 1,986 years plus five from that time, people don't change. He found his lover and he said, "I want to marry you." And she agreed. And you can imagine, and we could spend a lot of time going through what might have happened. We don't know. But the bottom line is that she said yes to what he said because they were betrothed to one another. They were engaged. And in the Jewish way of thinking, when a person became engaged, it was just like being married. It was binding. And the only way you could unbind this situation would go through divorcement. Even though during the engagement period, they did not have the privileges of a husband and a wife. They didn't have those private privileges of a husband and wife. But they were considered married, and it lasted for a whole year. And so during this time, something really important happened to both of them. And the first thing that happened was that an angel came to Joseph and an angel came to Mary. An angel came to both of these people. And this is the angel's part that we do know about that. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, this angel came to Joseph while he was asleep. Now, it doesn't say that it was while he was sleeping, but at the very end it said when he woke up. So that's obvious that he was asleep. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, 21, 22, and 23. The angel came to him. You see, he was really upset about this. He found out that she's going to have a baby, and he knew he had not been unfaithful. She had not been unfaithful, and now she's pregnant. And so he's really upset about this. He's uptight about what's going to happen, and God knows this, so God spoke to him in the dream and told him that it is okay. It is okay because God knew that he was planning in his mind to break privately the engagement. And while he was thinking about this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary, your wife." So bear in mind that an angel came to Joseph and an angel came to Mary. So both people were visited by an angel because they both had serious questions to ask God. And you can imagine this. You can imagine that if there was a girl who was a virgin and you know that and she knew that and all of a sudden she became pregnant, what would you say? What would you think? Well, it happened, and both were very upset by this. That's why God says, "Hey, I've got to help them out. I'll send an angel, and I'll put them right. I'll help them through this." So we do know the angel had their part. The second thing we know about this man, Joseph, for example, is these things. He went with Mary to Bethlehem. He was with Mary at the presentation of the temple. He took Jesus to the church, we'll say, at the age 12. He was with Mary at birth, and this is something good for you men to realize, that there's a lesson here too. He was with her when the baby came. He conducted the flight to Egypt and he returned to Nazareth. We know he was a carpenter. We know he was the head of a family of at least 7 children. We know he was a good man. He was a just man. He was an exemplary man. He might have died before Jesus started his public ministry. We don't know. But there are references, there are things that would lead us to believe that he died before Jesus started his public ministry. At least we know he had died before the crucifixion. Otherwise, Jesus on the cross would not have said, "John, I want you to take my mother home." He would have said, "Hey, Dad, take Mom home." So Joseph had to have died before the crucifixion. But there are some scriptures that we will not take time to read that show that possibly he had died before the actual ministry had started of Jesus. He was a good man. He was a simple man. He was a hard-working man. He was an honest man according to all the scripture. What we know about Mary is simply this. When she found out that she was pregnant, the scripture says, with haste she left. I mean, she got out of town. With haste she left to visit Elizabeth. We know that after the birth of Jesus, she went with Jesus at age 12 to the temple. We know that, of course, again, she was the mother of at least six children. And why do I say that? Well, look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. Matthew 13, verse 55. I can show you right here in the scripture, and you'll turn to it. While they had six at least, and they may have had seven, eight, nine. You know, Benjamin Franklin had 17 children. I just found that out. Like, was it 18, 17, 19? Come on.
He was 10 of 17.
Okay, pardon me. I'm sorry. He was 10 of 17 children. Okay. Matthew chapter 13, and we're reading verse 55. Isn't he the carpenter's son, referring to Jesus? Isn't he the carpenter's son? Joseph was a carpenter. Isn't Mary his mother? And then lists the names of his brothers. Aren't James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas his brothers? That's four in the family. Aren't all his sisters living with us? And the word is not sister, but sister. So that means two sisters at least. So we know that Mary and Joseph had at least these six families, six members of their family. There were six children, Jesus being the seventh. So it was a good family. It was a big family, and I can imagine the home life was just great. And yet it was filled with turmoil at times and problems at times, just like our families are filled with, because it was a human family. What we know about their suppressed feelings? Well, this. They both knew before the birth of Jesus of the role that Jesus was going to play. Now, try to transpose yourself back there at that time as Mary or as Joseph, as a husband or as a wife or as a man or a woman this morning in the congregation. And you were told by God, and you know it was God speaking to you, that you were going to have a son. And that the son would be the savior of the world. And yet you had a baby here. How could a baby be the savior? And all through those adolescent years, they must be those suppressed feelings of Mary and Joseph. What is all this about? Did God lie to me? And then as Jesus grew up in the carpenter's shop and took an active role, and as he was doing the things that he did, don't you know that they had to keep thinking? They just had to keep thinking, what is all this about? What is all this about? They had to keep a family secret, in other words. They had to keep a family secret that their baby was the savior of the world. No one would believe it. No one would believe it. Remember, they were just ordinary people. Joseph was just an ordinary man, just a guy like any of you fellows. Mary was just like any of you women, just an ordinary person. Because for 1,000 years, God had just been waiting for the fulfillment of the prophecy, fulfillment of what he said was going to happen when there would be a person. And this was the person. God chose Mary. With her sin, with her shortcomings, with her failures, she chose Mary. Later, Mary recognized Jesus as her Lord and Savior. But the point is, she was just an ordinary person. He was just an ordinary person. Well, just to say that God can use you and me just as ordinary people. Just ordinary people he can use for his purpose if we would just be there when he's calling us. Okay, now what can we learn from Joseph? We can learn three things before the marriage, and this would be for all people who are not married, and then we can learn two things after marriage. First of all, he loved Mary. This is before marriage. We can learn from her. He wanted to protect her. He loved her so much, he would do anything for his fiancée. And when he found out that she was pregnant, he said, hey, I'm going to have to take you away. I'm going to have to get away. I don't know what I'm going to do. And he agonized over this problem. Because his girl was pregnant. But he loved her and he wanted to protect her. He wanted to protect her from death. Because you know what the death rule was? It was stoning. She was an adulterer. Because remember, they were married. It was the engagement period and that was considered married before the actual marriage event. And so if somebody became pregnant during that time, they would be considered an adulterer. And the punishment for adultery, according to the word of God, is stoning. And he loves, this is what we learn, he loved her so much he did not want her stoned. And that's why he said, I'll get a bill of divorcement. We'll do this privately. I love you so much. And the second thing is that he obeyed God. And this is what people need to do. They need to obey God. For Matthew chapter 1, verse 24 says that when this angel spoke to him, Matthew 1, 24, when Joseph woke up from the dream, he married Mary. You see, he was not going to marry her when he found out what had happened. He had the dream. God spoke to him and said, it's okay. She's still pure, and yet she's still going to have a baby because the Holy Ghost has done this. So when he woke up from the dream, he married Mary, as the angel of the Lord had told him to. In the dream, Joseph was told to marry this person. This happens even today. But the point is, he obeyed God. He also did not have heavy dating before he was married, and this is something we can learn. He did not have heavy dating. There was no sexual relations before they were married, because it says in verse 25, he had no sexual relations with her before she gave birth to her son. This is what we can learn from Joseph before marriage. After marriage, we can learn two very simple things. He took his family to church. He didn't send them, or he didn't drop them off. And he took the leadership in the family. He was the head of the family. He said, Mary, we are going to Egypt. I don't want to go to Egypt. We're going to Egypt. We're going to Egypt. So he took the leadership in the family, and he took his family to church. What do we learn from Mary? Again, before marriage, there are several things. First of all, we learn from Mary that she believed what God had said, regardless of how absurd it was. We can learn from Mary. You can learn from Mary to believe what God says, even though it seems absurd. Believe it. Secondly, she gives the example of praise, and I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Luke for this praise that she gives. And I want you to bear in mind that there are only four accounts where she gives attention to herself. Everything else goes to the Lord, and this is really good. She's not dwelling on herself, only four lines devoted to her. It's the spirit of the Old Testament is saturating every one of these phrases. Mary said, this is in Luke chapter 1, verse 46, my heart praises the Lord. My soul is glad because of God my Savior. Now what we're learning from Mary before marriage is simply this, that she gave an example of praise. My soul is glad because of God my Savior, for he has remembered me, his lowly servant. From now on all people will call me happy because of the great things the Almighty God has done for me. His name is holy. From one generation to another, he shows mercy to those who honor him. Can you just see her walking up and down the bedroom, maybe out in the yard, just giving her praise to the Lord? He stretched out his mighty arm and scattered the proud with their plans. He has brought down mighty kings from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has kept the promise he made to our ancestors and has come to the help of his servant Israel. He has remembered to show mercy to Abraham and to all his descendants forever. This is just a beautiful song of praise and gratitude that Mary gives to the Lord. She shows an unusual amount of trust. That's something else we can learn from Mary. An unusual amount of trust. But in verse 38, chapter 1, there is one more thing we can learn. This is before marriage from Mary. Luke 1:38, submission. I am the Lord's servant, said Mary. May it happen to me as you've said. Wasn't fighting or fussing or arguing, but say, okay, I submit to this. I just submit to it. After marriage, we learn two very simple things. She supported her husband. She supported her son in the work that he was doing and all of his endeavors. Several times she was with him, once at the marriage of Cana in Galilee, and secondly, one time she wanted to get in to see Jesus, and he was busy, he couldn't see her. And this also shows, incidentally, that being a family member gave no special privileges to her at all. She was like the rest of them, because the word was sent to him, your mother's outdoors and your brethren outdoors. And he said, well, who is my mother? Who is my brothers? So she supported her son's work. She was with him in that. And then she just loved her son to the very, very end. To the very, very end. Mary and Joseph had a very special child. Neil and Nancy have five very special children. Roxy, you have three very special children, you and Terry. Greg and Patty, you have your four very special children. Mary and Joseph had a special child. You've got four special children. Dottie, four children. They were special. Jean, three special children. The Settlemores, the two special children. Alma, your two special children. And Irita, there were six. Okay. Beg your pardon? Okay. Special, each one very special. And Helen, two special children. Here's what I want you to see. Mary and Joseph had a very special child because he was the Savior of the world. We have been given children, and they are special because they too can be the saviors of the world. We will give them the baton. We'll pass it to them, and they can be the saviors of the world in the sense that they can say, I will point you to Jesus, for he is the way. He is the way. So a special gift to the world was given through Mary and Joseph in Jesus. But people, God has given this world a very special gift through your children. Now in closing, let me read Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, a child is born to us. A son is given to us. And he will be our ruler. He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. His royal power will continue to grow. His kingdom will always be at peace. He will rule as King David's successor, basing his power on right and justice. From now until the end of time, the Lord Almighty is determined to do all this. For to us a child is born. Why was the child born? Why was your child born? Listen to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 26. And it says, the Lord says to his people, I will come to Jerusalem to defend you. It's Isaiah 59:20. I will come to Jerusalem, and you are Jerusalem, to defend you and to save all of you that turn from your sins. And I'll make a covenant with you. I have given you my power. This is why he came. He has given you his teachings to be yours forever and from now on. And you are to obey me. You are to teach your children and your descendants to obey me for all time to come. This is why Jesus came, to defend us, to save us. And this is why we are here as children, to do the very same thing for the kingdom. This is why our children are here as well. We can learn from Mary and Joseph. We can learn many very important things. But the most important thing right now is that you are a child, regardless of your age, with a destiny, and you are a child with a mission. In your home, in your church, where you work, you've got an obligation. For God has said, for unto you, meaning your parents, a child is given. Therefore, we stand and we say, Jesus, I will be your child. And you are my Father. You are my Father. You are my Heavenly Father. And I will obey you. I will listen to you. I will follow you. I will obey. I will listen. I will follow you. Where he leads me, I will follow. And remember, if he is going to lead, he'll be before you all the way. Would you stand as we pray? Father God, you said that there was going to come a time, and you said it 1,000 years before it actually happened, that a son was going to be given, and that his name was going to be called Jesus, and he was going to save the world from their sins. Years went by. And then in the fullness of his time, it happened. Jesus was born. Emmanuel, God with us. And every time a person is born again by believing in Jesus and accepting Jesus as his or her personal Savior, that scripture becomes a reality. Walking around Emmanuel's, Emmanuel, God with us, God with us. We invite you into our heart, Jesus. You are with us. Not just upon the day of our salvation, but daily we call upon you to come in, to help, to sustain, to bless, to minister. Thank you, Jesus. After you came, that you as a child of the Father listened, obeyed, and followed all the way to the cross. Set the example for us. And thank you, Jesus, for this time of the year that we can call to our remembrance that you did come into the world for the supreme purpose of saving people from their sins. And may this be the message of Christmas. Not Jesus in the crib, but this is a time when we remember Jesus. And this is why you said, I want you to remember my death. Because the death was much more important than the birth. It was the death that paid the price and gave the forgiveness of our sins. So we thank you, Jesus, for all the time between the birth and the death, showing us the way to live between the birth and the death as well. Just obeying, listening, and following. Thank you, Jesus, for the part that each of us have in your kingdom's work. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, Lord.